Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 185 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Julie Ryan's book, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next. Julie has asked me to let you know you can download a free copy of this book from her website, and I've put a link in the show notes. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 14, which is titled The Train Wreck. This is what Julie has written. One weekday evening, I met my friend Steve at his office building to deliver some documents. His colleagues had all gone home by the time I arrived, and he was working alone in his office. From the street, the one-story building looked fairly small and non-descriptive, but inside, the space appeared much larger, since in addition to the main level, it had a basement with office and conference room space. Steve had told me he and his co-workers believed the building was haunted. He would often regale me with tales of hearing footsteps in the hallway, doors opening and closing by themselves, and papers rustling late at night when he was working alone in the building. I always listened with interest and acknowledged his experiences, although the few times I had been at his office during normal business hours, I hadn't ever encountered any paranormal activity. None of that was on my mind when I arrived that evening, although ironically, a storm had begun to brew. After a few minutes of casual conversation, Steve suggested I accompany him as he made his rounds through the building to turn off the lights and make sure all of the doors were locked. As we walked down the flight of stairs to the lower level, we continued to casually chat about our day. Then, when we reached the lobby, Steve asked if I felt anything. "Like what?" I responded. "You know," he said. "Do you sense any spirits or ghosts hanging around? You remember those stories I've told you about? I was just wondering if you could pick anything up." I hadn't seen or felt anything, but I also didn't have my radar on for picking up that sort of thing. "Let me tune in," I suggested. As we walked to the first set of offices, I scanned the room and saw the spirit of an Indian chief standing in the corner. The chief was wearing a full headdress of colourful feathers that went down from the tip of his forehead across the top of his head and stretched down to the ground. He was clothed in a tan-coloured suede shirt and long pants and was wearing tan moccasins. He was from the Lakota tribe in the Dakota Territories, which is now the states of North and South Dakota. Although I was a bit startled to see the spirit of an Indian chief, I wasn't ever afraid. He was regal and very matter-of-fact, not at all threatening. The chief and I communicated telepathically. He told me his name was Rolling Thunder, and he was there to provide guidance for those exploring new territories. I figured that meant new product areas of business. Interestingly enough, Steve was the company's chief strategy officer, the one who guided the company into new phases and niches of business. Another interesting synchronicity was that long before we met, both Steve and I had briefly lived in the Dakotas, he in North Dakota and me in South Dakota. Steve had apparently used this office when he first joined the company, and assuming the chief had just hung out in the office, I wondered if the chief was one of his spirit guides. Now, I absolutely believe that to be true, because I've subsequently seen the chief with Steve in other locations, including some that were out of state. I felt like a translator between the chief and Steve. I would ask the chief a question, either silently in my head or aloud so both Steve and I could hear it, and the chief would answer me telepathically. I then relayed verbally to Steve what I heard the chief say in my mind. Likewise, when Steve asked a question aloud, I would hear the chief's answer in my head and then tell Steve what he answered. After spending a few minutes with Chief Rolling Thunder, we proceeded on our locking up tour through the building. As we walked down one hallway, there was a bank of windows and a door leading to the outside on our left and a doorway into the mailroom on our right. By this time, the storm was getting pretty intense, with loud thunder accompanied by lots of lightning that illuminated our surroundings each time it streaked against the sky. It was beginning to feel like a Ghostbusters adventure. We stopped inside the hallway and faced the mailroom door. It was now dusk, so the room was dimly lit except for the frequent flashes of lightning. Since my radar was still on, I immediately saw what looked like a makeshift morgue. Bodies covered in white sheets were lying extended from the walls on either side of the hallway, more than 30 corpses in all, neatly arranged. Ghosts in turn of the 19th century dress walked down the aisles, attempting to identify their loved ones. Some of the ghosts wore denim overalls and carried shovels, axes, picks and other tools, while other ghosts searching the morgue were nicely dressed in what was probably the Sunday best. In asking several of the ghosts what was happening, I learned there had been a train accident close by. The train had derailed and killed or badly injured several of the passengers. The men dressed in overalls were local townspeople there to assist, while those dressed in fancy clothes were passengers looking for missing loved ones. At one point, the door to our right, leading from the basement lobby into the hallway, opened on its own and the ghost of a lovely young woman walked into the area. She was wearing a floor-length green velvet skirt and matching waist-length jacket with a high-collared, starched white blouse, and she wore long white gloves. This did freak me out a bit. Steve had experienced doors opening on their own before, but this was my first time. The energy around and inside my body was vibrating so fast I could actually hear a buzz in the room. The hair on the back of my neck and arms was standing straight up, and I had a huge case of chill bumps. And of course, the storm was still violently raging outside. I felt as if I'd stepped into some sort of real-life scary movie. The woman told me her name was Betsy. She was tall and slim and looked to be in her early 30s. Her brown hair was styled in a Gibson Girl updo, and she had a small but stylish green velvet hat perched on top of her head. Normally, I'd expect someone with this description to act like an aristocrat, but this woman was totally panicked. In my mind, I telepathically overheard her ask a man in overalls carrying a shovel if he'd seen a little girl in a pink dress. She told him that she and her 4-year-old daughter Sally had been passengers on the train and were separated when it derailed. There was a lot of commotion happening. Townsfolk and passengers were milling about, trying to make sense of what had happened, while locals carried the bodies of the deceased into the room on stretchers and placed them with other corpses. I continued to relay all I was seeing, hearing, and experiencing to Steve. I felt like a news reporter describing the scene of tragedy as it was unfolding. I'd read about multiple realities happening simultaneously and found myself and my friend smack in the middle of at least two. At that point, Steve asked if I could help the ghosts go into the light, or go on to heaven, and I told him I'd try. The next thing I knew, the wall in front of us, the one without windows, seemed to disappear, almost as if a large industrial overhead garage door had opened, and a wall of brilliant white light tinged with a bit of yellow appeared. I had seen this wall of light many times, and I knew it was the entrance to heaven. Once this passageway to heaven appeared, I began to watch the ghosts walk toward it and enter. They moved as though a magnetic force was guiding them into the light. The corpses covered in white sheets that lay on the floor seemed to vanish. They didn't rise up and join the others in a procession into the light. I believed their spirits were already in heaven. They had fulfilled their life's lessons and purpose and had chosen to remain in the light, while the others had chosen to remain in ghost form to continue learning. Today I was reading from Julie Ryan's book, Angelic Attendants, what really happens as we transition from this life into the next. Julie has asked me to let you know you can download a free copy of this book from her website. I've put the link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.